With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Joining us right now on our SDCCU fan hotline to talk a little college sports from USA Today, Dan Wolkin here with Ben and Woods. Dan, it is great to have you on in San Diego this morning.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. I mean, I love dynasties as much as the next guy, but there does sometimes feel to be a bit of a predetermined outcome to some of these college football seasons, at least which teams we know are going to kind of be there at the end.
Yeah, I mean, but it's always kind of been that way. There's always been some dominant programs. They rotate every so often, but, you know, back in the 90s, you know, you had Florida State and Florida and a few others, you know, Tennessee that were at the top. And then now you've got Clemson and Alabama and Georgia. And it's never been a sport where there's been a lot of parity. There's always been a few at the top and then a gap to everyone else. So I don't necessarily see it as all that different than the way it's been for most of the history of the sport.
That's a good point. We're talking to Dan Wolkin from USA Today, talking a little college football. One team that I think that really jumped into my consciousness is I watched all of that that LSU and Texas game. That was one of the better college football games I'd seen in a long time. And LSU and Coach O, hard team to root against. I like what they did that day against Texas, and they've kind of thrust themselves into the big picture in college football is somebody that really, really legit football team. What were your thoughts when you saw that?
I'm sorry, you cut out there. What team?
Oh, I'm sorry, LSU.
Yeah, LSU looked good. You know, I think people are kind of enamored right now with them because they have an offense, it seems like. And that had been a problem for so long was that they had unbelievable defensive players. You go through the draft every year, and every guy on that LSU defense would be there. But offensively, you know, they'd have great wide receivers. You'd see offensive linemen. But the quarterback position, and obviously LSU running backs, you know, have been incredible over the years. But the quarterback position has just been awful. And with Les Miles, it kind of looked like a draconian offensive system. And they just kind of were very stale. And Orgeron's come in, and they've tried to open it up to make it more fast-paced and modern and spread the field like teams do now. And Joe Burrow has been really tremendous at quarterback so far. And you know, I'm not sure yet that LSU is really as good as Alabama or Georgia or some of the other teams that they'd have to beat to get to the playoff. But scoring a lot of points and making it look that easy in Austin was a really good time.
Dan, we had a long discussion earlier this morning about the bill that's winding its way through the California legislature, the Fair Pay to Play Act, which could ultimately be a big game changer when it comes to the model of college athletics, allowing, you know, athletes to make money off endorsements, off their name, their image, their likeness. How do you think this is going to play out, assuming it does become a law in California that it's going to go into effect in the year 2023?
Well, I would imagine that the NCAA will sue the state of California, or some schools in the NCAA will sue the state of California and try to get an injunction and let this thing play out in the judicial system. You know, that's what I would guess. The NCAA has done or has had some pretty favorable outcomes in these big cases challenging their model. Even though they lost the Ed O'Bannon case, technically, the remedy in the case essentially allowed them to keep amateurism. They just added the cost of attendance stipends, which they were going to do anyway, and they were able to kind of move on. And the Supreme Court at that time decided not to hear an appeal. Then this Alston case, which Jeffrey Kessler was leading the plaintiffs against the NCAA, basically arguing that there should be no limit given or there should be no limit on the scholarship value, and that it basically should be a free market in college athletics. And even though the NCAA again lost the case, the remedy that was handed down by the judge was basically that anything else that schools offer has to be tied to education, which is really not something that upends the model of college athletics. I think the NCAA was pretty happy with that ruling. So to this point, the judicial system has not been all that willing to tip the scales over and tell the NCAA your model has to completely change. So I would imagine that they'll go back to that and try to win a court case,
which they might. But I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how that's going to go, you know, what they're going to argue. But from a public opinion standpoint, it's not like this bill passed 37-35. It was 72-0. I mean, there seems to be an overwhelming sentiment, at least in California, and I've got to imagine that this isn't the only place, that the guys should, at the very least, and female athletes should be able to make money off of endorsements, even if they're not going to get paid by the schools to play, that at the very least open that avenue to them in order to make the system a little more equitable. What's the giant problem with that for the NCAA?
Well, I don't have a problem with it. I've been arguing for that for many, many years, and I think public opinion has definitely swung more in favor of going to that, you know, the so-called Olympic model. You know, I think the schools and the NCAA see it as an issue that will, I mean, we can talk about what their motives are for why they want to cling to this system, but they see something that will be incredibly unwieldy and that will impact how athletes are recruited, to say, okay, well, you know, there's going to be promises made on the front end, and certain schools are going to have an advantage over other schools in the things that will be arranged for players. And now I think we can argue that a lot of that stuff already happens, and if you open it up to endorsements, it'll just be over the table instead of under the table. But I think that's kind of where the NCAA and the schools are coming from. What changes they want to make on their own, they're studying the issue. They've got all these committees. I don't know what'll come of all that, but look, I think this is the beginning and not just the end, because California passed this bill. I think it's a long slog to get to the ultimate outcome of this.
We're talking to Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Dan, as good as week two in college football was, I'm kind of perusing the schedule for week three. A little leaner, I would say. no big Texas LSU matchup. What are the games for you this week do you see as maybe the best games, maybe one that's under the radar that you like?
Well, Iowa State, you know, is the big game day game, which is kind of interesting. And I think, you know, Iowa State was a little bit lucky to win their season opener against Northern Iowa, but that's a team that I think most people in the know have kind of looked at as a big sleeper in the Big 12, and so I like that matchup. It's always a good rivalry game every year. You know, other than that, you know, Pitt Penn State on paper doesn't look great. I'll be interested to see with USC whether they can back up their performance against Stanford. Against BYU, you know, Arizona State at Michigan State, two really good defensive teams. But yeah, I mean, and I would say Florida State going to Virginia. Now, Florida State's been really bad so far this year, and really could have lost to Louisiana Monroe. And this is going to be kind of a coming out party maybe for Virginia, because that's a team not a lot of people nationally have talked about, but they are likely the best team in their division of the ACC. I think they're quite good, very good defensively, and this is a big deal for them to get Florida State at home when Florida State's down. Can they kind of, you know, break out and make a statement?
Last thing for me, Dan. Usually what undoes an athletic director oftentimes in big-time college sports is a bad football hire. So I was kind of shocked, because I had forgotten that Lynn Swann didn't even hire Clay Helton. He inherited Clay Helton and still ended up getting fired at USC because things, I guess, had been that bad. What's your reaction to what's going on with USC? Are they going to be able to turn this around if they find the right person for the job? And Clay Helton's team looked pretty good the first couple of weeks of the season, especially with that new quarterback the second week. Maybe they are okay.
I mean, here's the thing with Clay Helton is, you know, you can't live and die with the week-to-week results. You have to step back and understand the big picture. And, you know, earlier in his tenure, even though they won some games and they won the Pac-12 one year, when they played the best of the best, they got beaten pretty consistently, and it wasn't all that close. You know, I think back the year they won the Pac-12, and, you know, they got hammered by Notre Dame. They went into a bowl game against Ohio State. It really wasn't competitive at all. They basically got embarrassed. And then, you know, their quarterback leaves, and that's the real test for what kind of program they are. Last year, they go 5-7. So, you know, just because they win some games against a weak Pac-12, I don't want to go overboard and say, well, he's got it back on track. I mean, look at their recruiting right now. They're in the 40s. So I still think Clay Helton's in big, big trouble. I still think this team is going to kind of be exposed as the season goes along. There's going to be a new AD there. It's going to be somebody unlike past hires that is not tied to USC. It's not a, you know, a Letterman's Club hire. It's going to be a real athletic director. And then that person's going to have to do a search and make a decision on Helton and figure out who they can get and try to right this ship, because – it's been a long time since USC is where it should be in the college football landscape.
Dan, great stuff. Really appreciate you joining us this morning. Thanks for your time.
All good. Thanks.
Dan Wolkin, college football columnist, writer for USA Today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.